Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We now seem to be out of the woods regarding COVID restrictions, and praise the Lord for that. The social and psychological toil of restrictions has been a trial for us all. For the church, one result has been to test the importance of gathering for worship. And that can be beneficial to faith, so long as we take time to reflect upon the lesson. To my understanding, some churches and pastors ignored many or all restrictions on gathering sizes, singing masks, even sharing the cup at communion. And one of the arguments, and very convincing to me in my heart, is that if these things are truly as important as we confessed up until COVID, if we are not to be hypocrites, if the one who can kill both body and soul in hell is to be feared more than only that which can kill the body, then the divine service of our Lord, which he both commands and provides for us to observe, must be held in the highest esteem. As the hymn goes, no poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. And to kowtow to a virus or to a government shutdown is likened to the Israelites who bring a bad report to Moses after spying out the promised land, concluding that they cannot take the land after all because the inhabitants are just too strong. Well, we know they may have been strong, but God promised the land to them after all. And to fear the strength of men is to deny the strength of God. Isn't God stronger than men? Isn't he more powerful than a virus? Yes. Then why did we observe such caution for a year and a half in the house of the Lord? We did so precisely because in doing so, we were serving the Lord. Here is our position. God wants us to obey earthly rulers and authorities, so long as they don't directly call us to disobey him. We defer to the judgment of that authority in taking precautions against a virus it believes to be deadly serious. That's it. It's apparent to me that those who refused to follow restrictions did so not because they believe that precautions during worship are sinful, a sinful testing of the Lord, but rather because they believed that COVID-19 wasn't a serious enough threat. However, and bear with me here, follow this, hypothetically, if COVID-19 were known to kill 100% of those who were infected, I'd wager that the same churches that defied restrictions would observe them willingly. So you see, they made a choice, and that choice was not to worship God and not fear earthly things, which is a good choice, but to obey their own judgment about COVID-19 over the judgment of the ruling authorities. And to the point of disobedience. It's not to say that you cannot believe that the government's restrictions were overblown, or even talk about it being so, or write a letter to your MP. I've said many times before, God never commands you to trust the government, just to obey it. Therefore, you need to respectfully obey the government, even when the government makes laws that seem inconvenient or absurd to you. Now, all of this I bring up, you may be wondering, as a segue into Peter's words in today's gospel. And in case you didn't catch it, Simon, who's mentioned like 10 times by name, is Peter. Okay, same guy. You see, they'd been fishing all night and were tired from a night's unfruitful work. Everything said that they just weren't biting, right? So to speak, I know they were net fishing. But Jesus says, go out again. notice what Peter didn't say. He didn't say this is ridiculously inconvenient. Less than 0.0001% of fishermen catch if they go out again after an unproductive night. He might have thought such a thing. Apparently he did think such a thing. For he said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." At your word, I will let down the nets. That, brothers and sisters in Christ, is true obedience. You see, it's very easy to obey someone when their judgment aligns with yours. Somebody might say, it's not obedience at all. It's easy to obey someone when their judgment is the same as yours, when it aligns with yours. What about when it doesn't? It's easy for children to obey their parents when they say, you can have some ice cream. It's hard when a parent says, eat your vegetables. This notion of obedience used to be a matter of common sense. But today, obedience is as a swear word. And it's kind of ironic, I mentioned this on the day of the independence of the United States. If you obey someone who you think is wrong today, you have violated, in today's reckoning, the sanctity of self. But there is no holiness of self. It doesn't exist. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. I think that's true. It's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is that we are by nature sinful and unclean, inclined to sin, and apart from Christ, liable to judge poorly. Eve thought God's forbidding the fruit didn't make sense. After all, the fruit was a delight to the eyes, good for food and desirable to make one wise. Why wouldn't God want us to be wise? A refusal to recognize legitimate authority somewhere outside of oneself is the source of all sin. It caused the fall. Caused Satan's own fall, and is implied in the method of the Antichrist, who is to come, the Antichrist who is to come, when he is called the man of lawlessness. In the days of the judges, we're told everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the continual temptation of Satan is to try to make you to be a law unto yourself. Satan never says, trust me. He says, trust yourself. This is because he knows that according to yourself, your flesh, you serve the law of sin. But Peter shows what true obedience is like. Even if I don't understand your judgment, I trust you, Lord, and I will move my tired legs and arms to do what you command me. And I will try to embrace a willing spirit in doing so cheerfully in what you command. God commands us to respect the governing authorities, that is, obey that authority. It doesn't mean that Jason Kenney is our pope and Parliament the new magisterium of the church. It does mean that they have been given authority to judge the severity of the threats to our nation and to our society. And make laws accordingly. And if we take that authority for ourselves, we are usurpers and not of the Spirit of Christ. And let us not forget that the gathering of the saints is from God for our benefit. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a gift, and true Christians want to receive it. And if certain things prevent us for a time, dangerous weather, dangerous roads, sick with the flu, needing to be out of town, a pandemic, doesn't mean we are despising that gift. On the contrary, logic tells us that the exception proves the rule. As a rule, we are commanded and want to gather together at the altar and closer than 2 meters, to sing without masks, to share the very same cup of the Lord. As a rule, we want to be in church, locally and not through a screen. And as a rule, we want to worship at a certain time and in a certain way. But when exceptions go against the rule, we are not severed from Christ, for nothing can snatch us out of his hands. He has atoned for all our sins. And through faith, we trust in the one who not only can provide a miraculous catch, but who can also sustain us by his word and grace until the next time we gather. And we know that should the government or Antichrist explicitly command us to deny him, we're not going to do it, because we have nothing that they can take from us. For through faith, we have already, like the disciples, left everything to follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.